Well, I'd like to start off by just giving a little slice of history, if I may. At 5 o'clock in the morning, on the 11th day of the 11th month, in 1918, in a railroad car in Compiègne, France, there was a covenant or an armistice that was signed that ended the horrible trench wars or battles of World War I. And it was known as Armistice Day until it was changed to Veterans Day. And we know Veterans Day now to be the day that we celebrate on the 11th of November every year. And that'll be this coming week. It's a day that we set aside. And I choose the Sunday before Veterans Day because we won't gather on Veterans Day here at the church to honor all of our vets who served, those who are living and those who have passed away. I love this saying. It's been said, it's a veteran, not a reporter, that has given us the freedom of press. It's a veteran, not the poet, who's given us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, that gives us the freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the politician, who gives us the freedom to vote. Amen. It's the veteran, not the preacher, who's given us the freedom to practice our faith and religion. So I'd like to just take a moment, if you are a veteran and you served your country in any of the armed services, would you please stand at this time? Thank you for your service. We stand on the shoulders of those who never made it back. And because we have life, we're supposed to use it for good. And I think veterans are some of the greatest providers of goodness in our world because of the time that they served. And so I thank you all for your service. But this morning I want to talk about a different soldier. A soldier that didn't serve in the U.S. Army or any of the other armed forces, but who served in the army of God. And of course, I'm speaking of the Apostle Paul. He was nearing the end of his life at this time when he wrote the scripture that Susie, or the letter that Susie read, and he wanted to pass along some advice to a young man named Timothy who was in Ephesus, a beautiful city in Turkey. My wife and I have been there many times. And I was thinking of the definition of veteran, a person who has had a long experience in a particular field. So if individuals served in the military, they gained a lot of knowledge in their MOS or their specialty, and they passed that experience on to others. We hear the word veteran used for veteran baseball players, veteran politicians, just a lot of experience. And the Apostle Paul wanted to pass along his veteran experiences to this young recruit in the ministry. And this young recruit named Timothy needed some guidance. We know that Paul faced many battles in his ministry. If you read the scriptures, it says he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was bitten by a snake, he was imprisoned. He suffered so much, he fought so many battles for the faith, and he wanted to prepare this young Timothy, who probably was in his late teens. He wanted to prepare him for the battles that he was going to face in life. And so, what does he instruct them in? He instructs them in a couple of areas where he could fight this battle well. Number one, he tells young Timothy to be strong. Now, this just isn't advice for young Timothy. It's advice for us as well. Be strong, he instructs him. Now, being physically strong and physically fit, for those of you who served, you'll know that you needed some agility and strength to get through basic and AIT and advanced training and even the runs that you had to do early in the morning when you did PT outside the barracks. You see that? I got somebody up there. But Paul's not talking about physical strength, although he tells us to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies, but he's telling him to be strong in his faith because you're going to face many trials. Now, he's saying be strong in the grace given to you by God through Jesus Christ. You know, one definition of grace is this: God's unmerited favor and love. And you all know what that means. It means that you cannot earn the love and favor of God. It's a gift that he gives. You don't have to do anything to earn it. And I've preached that many times from up here, what grace is all about. We just need to receive it as a gift. And he tells them, walk in that gift of God's presence and love. And that favor, by the way, God's grace, is what gets us through every battle we face in this life. It gets us through every trial that comes our way. It gets us through every temptation that might cross our path to stay strong in the faith and not give in to it. And that is why you hear many people who say, there but for the grace of God, I couldn't get through what I went through. Have any of you ever said that? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have never survived what I went through. Now, if you know anything about soldiers in battle, troops need rear support to stay in the fight. They just can't deploy you out there in the field and expect you to sustain yourself without supplies and ammo and weapons and intelligence and all the things that the rear support gives to the troops in battle so that they could continue to advance in their given assignment. Well, soldiers of the army of God also have a rear guard, and I don't mean that God's in the rear, but that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Whatever we need to get through the battles of this life. And you probably could define some of the battles that you fought in your life. And all of the trials that you had to go through. I love the saying that there are no atheists in a foxhole. And I believe that. You have some atheists, by the way, they get in trouble and they say, oh God. Well, who are they yelling to? So Paul reminds us, and he reminds young Timothy, as a veteran to a recruit, stay strong in your faith, Timothy, knowing that God has you in the palm of his hand. And then this veteran of God's army, Paul, encourages young Timothy to stay committed. I love that word, committed. We use it in relationships, we use it in our workplace and other ways. And of course, the Pledge of Allegiance is an allegiance to something or someone or a principle that we pledge allegiance to. You know, I want to share a little story with you. My wife and I were traveling southern Italy on a bus tour. And the bus captain of our bus said, would you all mind if we take a detour from our itinerary? And so everybody yelled back, where do you want to take us? She said, I'd like to stop at the Veterans Cemetery in Florence, Italy. And we gave her a standing ovation. Yes, I've seen enough Michelangelo and Da Vinci. I've seen enough leather pocketbooks. Of which my wife enjoyed purchasing. Let's go to this cemetery. I want to tell you a story. We pulled up two buses, and a very fit African-American man came out, a retired master sergeant of the Army. He was in charge of that cemetery. And he was almost in tears, and he goes, "Do you realize nobody visits here from America? They're off doing everything else, but nobody ever stops here. And it's an honor to have you here today." And this is one of the stories he told. The 10th Mountain Division. They were fighting in Florence. And they were scaling a mountain. And it was raining. And he said, many of the men that are buried in that part of the cemetery, when they slipped and fell, they fell silently because they didn't want to give their position to the Germans at the top of the ridge. Could you imagine falling to your death and being committed enough to your fellow troops that you do not even scream out? That's an incredible amount of commitment to the troops that you were serving with. That's true commitment, friends, when you're willing to lay down your life for a friend. Amazing story. So Paul looked at Timothy as a son, and he committed himself to leading this young man. And Paul says, "I'm all in for the gospel." And Timothy, you're going to have to be all in too. You're going to have to be committed if you want to continue serving the Lord. I could think back in my own life, those individuals who helped shape my life. One gentleman wasn't a minister, wasn't a pastor. My wife will tell you, a gentleman by the name of Ralph Porco, who was just a little bit older than me, but he was so full of wisdom that he would nurture me and teach me the truth of faith. And he's gone home to be with the Lord, but I owe a debt of gratitude to Ralph Porco, who helped shape me in my faith and eventually to all answer a call to the ministry. He helped pass along, as a veteran, the experiences that he had so that I too can walk by faith and not by sight. And so Paul encourages Timothy, be strong, be committed, and then he tells him, Timothy, endure. Remain steadfast. Endure what? Endure all the trials and challenges that you're going to face. Now, Timothy, you may not realize it, but you are going to face some trials and challenges in the days ahead. Trust me on that. Paul was telling Timothy, life's not going to be easy. And most of us here today could say, exactly right, life is not easy. Life can be awfully hard at times. Serving in the military is not easy. And serving in the Lord's army is not easy as well. There will be times when our faith will be shook to its very core by something that comes up against us in this life. I don't like sharing personal stories because I don't know what it is. You always feel like you're sort of patting yourself on the back, and I don't want to do that. But because it's Veterans Day weekend, I just want to share a little story with you. It's not a war story or anything. I remember going through paratrooper training in Fort Benning, Georgia. See that? There you go. And they used to run us. Even if you went to the bathroom and you were sitting on the commode, you had to run in place. And so they took us out on this final run. And it was supposed to be the killer run. Back then, it was full combat boots, fatigues, none of this shorts and sneakers stuff today. And we're running, and we're getting to the point where my lungs were on fire. My heart was beating out of my chest. My brain was about to explode. Everything in my head was saying, drop out, give up. Because guys were dropping out. And if you dropped out, they shipped you away. You were ridiculed, and you were put on detail to cut grass with a sickle. I mean, you were embarrassed, and as we ran by you, we would look at you with disdain. And I just kept saying, don't give up. Keep going. Just look ahead. Don't look to Jonesy who just fell out. Just keep going. And then all of a sudden, the black hat or the instructor said, mark time, march. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't say that back then because I wasn't a very strong person of faith early on in my young life. But I was thanking God. And I was able to endure. Sometimes, friends, when life hits us, we got to dig real deep. We got to go as deep as we can to hold on and hold up and keep moving forward in spite of what's going on. And Paul wanted Timothy to realize, when you're ready to give up and give out and quit, remember my words, keep enduring in the faith. Keep running the race. Don't give up. And then he says, stay focused. Listen to verse 4 that Susie read. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. The soldier wants to please the commanding officer. Paul's telling Timothy, don't be distracted. How easy it is for us people in this day and age to get distracted by all the noise that's going on in our world and society today. Do you feel that? Do you feel like it's bombarding you with negativity and all kinds of junk coming into our minds, and it could distract us? It could take us away from our course, our mission, if you will, as Christians. Paul also says in Philippians, press on, press through. And that's what he's sharing with Timothy, and that's what he's sharing with us today. No matter how you feel this morning, no matter what you might be going through, no matter what is happening in your life that has discouraged you and attacked you and burdened you, Paul is saying, press on and press through. The most important information, I think, in this whole letter is don't be distracted. Don't get distracted by the noise. Stay focused on Christ. And by the way, the enemy of God, Satan, who's a real spiritual being, is good at distracting us. Good at knowing our weak areas, to put those distractions in front of us, to pull us away from our faith. Don't let it happen. And I end with this. He tells Timothy, press on, press through, please your commander. And who's the commander?
The Lord.
Jesus Christ. Please him. And how can we please our commander? By being strong, by being committed, by enduring through the challenges of life, by staying focused. And then one day we'll hear our commander tell us, well done, my good and faithful servant and soldier. Amen. 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 And so, Lord, today I just tuck in a little prayer. I tuck in a prayer, Lord, that no matter what we're facing, and I know many people in this church today are going through some serious trials. I just pray that we'd adhere to the words of Paul. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. Stay focused. Keep the faith. And truck on. In Jesus' name, amen.